Welcome to the Digital Agency Pros Podcast with Andrew McBurney, your host of Digital Agency Pros. In this podcast, we sit down and talk to CEOs, founders, and professionals in the marketing world and talk shop all things related to building an agency and marketing. All right, let's get into it.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode. And today we have Jason from All Points Digital. Happy to have you here, Jason.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So why don't you tell us a bit about how you got to where you're at in your current marketing agency?
Sure. So there's an agency I actually founded many years ago. I got into digital marketing. I was kind of lucky. I was scooped up out of college by another kind of big digital marketing leader, Larry Kim, who's founded up WordStream and Mobile Monkey, was a good friend of mine back then. We still keep in touch. And he brought me in to do experimentations on teaching me SEO and SEM and did a lot into search engine optimization world. And when trying to explain that to people back then, you know, many years ago out of college, nobody had any idea what SEO was. It was just one of those acronyms that all us nerds threw around. And then over years, I just ended up getting kind of a reputation of being good at what I did. I brought in my brother, who is a tech mastermind in terms of development, did a lot of middleware integration. And I kept on having requests for website development. And then I kept on having requests for more services. And rather than just saying, okay, we're like a, you know, one-man band here and trying to pick apart little pieces I'm good at, I really wanted to find other kind of thought leaders around the industry. And All Points Digital is really based on kind of having the best of the best on there. So we don't have junior level staffing. We're very high level. We don't have these project managers who don't understand digital marketing who are leading calls. But it was about now, and it was under a different name, but All Points Digital has been under this name for about 7 or 8 years now.
Wow, that's awesome. So it sounds like you had an interesting entry point into the world almost through a tech startup.
It wasn't actually even a tech startup. It was actually Progress Software out of Bedford, Mass, which was one of the giant Fortune 500 companies. But it was Larry Kim, this other guy, Peter, in an office doing experimentations of digital marketing and understanding analytics and how data was actually driving different traffic before any of this stuff was out there. Search engine land, search engine, none of this documentation even existed. So we were the lab rats in there. So we were essentially a small company running, trying to promote a piece of software called Stylus Studio, which was an XML editor back in the day. Okay. And that started to get my interest within digital marketing because nobody was doing it. It wasn't something that was taught in school. Nobody had any idea what was happening. And I thought that was really cool to be able to pull different levers and make our results show up on Google to get traffic. I'm very nerdy and number driven. So anytime I can make numbers move, I'll get pretty happy.
That's cool. So you were really in at the forefront of when people are starting to be like, oh, there's something here. Like this is important for businesses.
Correct. Yeah. There was no jobs out there. I think my first position was actually not even named anything with digital marketing. It was a marketing communication specialist.
Interesting.
Now there's so many different digital marketing positions out there, but coming into that, these digital marketing positions didn't exist.
That's awesome. And then in terms of WordStream, were you ever involved in that company or did he go on to found that later?
So he went in to found, he was actually building that right as we were together at the end of Stylus Studio. And we kind of parted away. I had an ability to go actually my brother with a VC on a different company. And Larry said, you know, actually offered me to come with him to go in for WordStream. But a lot of the founding members of WordStream and our team and our kind of sister companies actually come from, I call it like the little Larry Kim coaching branch, if you will. So the first employee, a good friend of mine, Tom Demers, he leads up Measure SEM. We did big part of our content marketing effort from All Points Digital. And, you know, he was Larry's first employee over there. And he was also worked with me out of college. So it really is a stemming branch from those early years. A lot of our relationships come from that, which was, God, back in 2007-ish, really long time ago. So
that's interesting. That's almost a decade before I really got involved in the SEO industry. I was about 2015 on the scene. And like still even then, it kind of felt like in on it early, because like nobody really knew what they were doing. There was a lot of kind of transition going at that point from a lot of like more black hat tactics to like, oh, maybe we should start.
Absolutely. That was it. You go to China, you know, go to China, get links on a website from a volleyball site to point your site. You can't do that stuff anymore. That is bad. No, no, no. We're very white hat at All Point Digital, but the tactics, it was a wild, wild west, is as kind of cliche as that sounds back then.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's really interesting. And before we go on, like the WordStream in itself is such a great system. If you're looking to like we just used it for search engine marketing to really dial in the AdWords campaigns, and it's a huge time saver.
Yeah, it's great. And actually, you know, originally it was just supposed to be a software platform. Back when Larry was tinkering it back in the day, and then you know, you got investors coming like, you know what, we have to have an agency component to this, and they started bringing in a whole bunch of people. But I think of the first you know, six or seven people part into that company of WordStream, now that you know it's gigantic, I think, you know, three of them were either my good friends who I introduced over to Larry, or people that I hired over at our shop. But it's turned out good. But Larry's moved on. He's doing now Mobile Monkey, which is a Facebook messenger platform, a bot platform that's really cool too. And he sold it off, and I know a big name company, but they're still staying pretty strong.
Right. That's interesting. And then at what point in your journey were you like, I'm going to start an agency? Did you kind of fall into it backwards, or was this like something that was kind of in the back of your head for a long time?
So it kind of like evolved. So once I understood, because I really started understanding like a lot of the base principles, that SEO is my specialty. But because I was so early into the game, I learned Google AdWords and SEM and those tactics. I'm a little bit around the content marketing front, social media even earlier. So I really had to understand those different skill sets. And I understood it from back then, you could probably say that I was an expert in a lot of those different skill sets, you know, back 15 years ago. Now there's just so much to it, and the people that are on our team are just so far above my, you know, my understanding outside of SEO, which I still am, you know, really nerding out kind of hard for. But you know, our paid search leader, Kristen Ricosi, I mean, she leads hundreds of millions of dollars, and I don't even understand some of the stuff that she says, and I'm pretty well in tune to it. So over time, I understood that like I had so many requests. And I really am a big believer in, like, I always want to treat any client that I have as my own business. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer, I know what I know when I know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. So over time, I started building relationships with really trusted people who I've kind of encountered along, you know, my own journey, as well as, you know, knowing that my brother had a huge background in tech. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of fell into a fact that, okay, we had this network of people. They were really, really good, you know, the top industry leaders across the board. We were brought into a project under a kind of another agency, and we're kind of a co-partner of just the development end of side and kind of the end of things. And then that partner agency kind of disappeared this now over time, which I don't know, was 10 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we took all the good components for this old partner that we had, where took it, rebuilt it as All Points Digital, and it's been, you know, fantastic ever since then. So I kind of fell into it, and it just became a supply and demand thing. It's kind of the best way to put it.
Right. That's awesome. And I love how you mentioned that you don't bring in these account managers, or whatever you want to call them, that don't understand what they're doing, whether it's a project manager. Me too. That was a huge gripe. Like, I had a few different brands that I ran for when I was really into client marketing, and in both of the like, one was dental, one was home inspections. And I went deep into both those industries, and both of them were riddled with these large multi-million dollar multinational companies that were just like, do those like those high volume sales tactics. They would just get people through, and they were just, their whole model basically was to burn customers and just work through any new unsuspecting professional ultimately, right? And you would have like sometimes, if we were onboarding somebody who would come from these agencies, we would sit down and talk to them and be like, this person does not know what they're talking about. They're just following a list that's been given to them.
Yeah, let me get back to you. I said, we are a big believer. Anybody who's in the account, it's not like we offer, you know them. the people who are working, if they're working on your SEM campaigns and we're doing tactical, they're on that call. Yeah, we might have somebody going on there to make sure that we have everybody organized, but the person working on those tactics is in the call, on the call. We do not shield them. We don't have one person essentially relaying information to another person, because, you know, in the game of telephone, information gets missed. And that is my biggest gripe with the large agencies. Is they create this pyramid structure, and at the bottom of the pyramid you've got people in my opinion that are end up being a disservice to the clients because they don't have that expertise. They're just saying, yes, let me look into this, and they can't answer, and time goes past, and that might be critical time. And that's really kind of somewhere where we kind of saw huge opportunities. Like, we never want to get to that point when we are onboarding people and we're bringing on new employees or even partners to All Points Digital. Like, it is hard. You know, we go through a ton of them. We don't just bring on any Joe Schmo who said they're gonna work. We pay top dollar for our employees because they're worth it, in brutal honesty. And it really always frustrated me because I was actually worked on kind of, not on the agency side before this, where, I was a chief marketing officer at a giant property management company for a while, and listening to the people who were managing, and this is before really digital marketing, but like the ILSs, which are the Zillows of the world, going through their spiels about what their offering was. And it was just a sales pitch, and there was never actually any information that helped the client. We position ourselves to be really part of your business and part of the team, and not a vendor. We do not like that vendor relationship. We try to stay away from that. If you want somebody who's going to talk to you once a month and give you an hour report, we're not the agency for you. We want to be tied at your hip. We want to talk to you all the time. And we want to understand not only what's going on from your digital marketing standpoint, but what your conventional marketing efforts are and your other kind of business operations are, to see if we can help. Because we want, if you guys are making money, if our clients are making money, they're happy. And guess what? We're making money too. The always goes, if you give us a dollar and we can give you $5 back, you're going to stay with us. So it's an ultimate goal, together. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And it is that extreme opposite of that kind of that high volume sales, where it's like the person doing the sales is also managing the client, and they're not studying digital marketing. They're studying sales, acquisition. They're driving
the quota. Meetings. Yeah, they have meetings with their superior. Like, where are they? Did you try to upsell them? And I think, no. What have you learned about the client? What have you found out that we can help them with that's actually going to be a benefit and ultimately, create revenue on their bottom line? So.
Yeah, I love that. My background before I got into digital marketing full-time in 2016 was actually social work. And in the social services field, it's called something called client-focused work, right? You're always working to the best interest of your client, right? There's no other hidden agenda there. It's just about them. And whenever I entered the field, that resonated with me. That was like instantly, like if sometimes like when I started out, I only sold SEO, right? But then sometimes it's like a company would come and be like, hey, we need help with our marketing. And they don't know anything about marketing. They're coming to me thinking I'm a marketing expert. Meanwhile, I'm an SEO expert, right? And it's like, hey, you need like Facebook ads. Like, maybe it's like an e-commerce store. It's like, you're not going to want to like test your new product with a 9-month SEO campaign.
That's right? Exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's what you have to happen too. I'm sure that you've run into this too, that some people will think, and I even try to drive them in the right kind of in the right order. They'll come to you before even they have their kind of business plan laid out, right? Yeah. So like, why need SEO? I'm like, well, what have you done? What have we seen from a sales standpoint? What's the data points that we can go on that? And sometimes in the cycle of where they are as a business, if they're a startup, I have to give them, well, you know what? As much as I'd love to take your business from SEO, it wouldn't be right of me to say, oh, give us an SEO retainer to drive traffic, because I really think you should do X, Y, or Z. A lot of that too, and I know we'll probably go into some omni-channel marketing in a bit, but SEM is a great example of that, where you can gather a lot of learnings from SEM to essentially guide some of those SEO decisions in the future. But yeah, it really is, keeping, when businesses come, you want to guide them in the right direction and not just take their business for the sake of taking business. Because guess what? You might not get that business now, but they're going to remember you a year from now when they're in the position to actually take you on. They're going to trust you for it.
That's the thing, building up any company, but especially a marketing company, with so many kind of snakes in the grass, and like the just the general bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, whether or not they were scammed. Like, a lot of people weren't actually scammed. They just had a bad experience and they kind of wrote it off as always, that was a scam or it was money or whatever. So I truly believe in that long game. And when it comes to helping your customers, like, what are you doing? Like, I know you mentioned omnichannel marketing. Why don't you talk a bit about that and tell us how you're using that to get results for your clients?
Sure. So as kind of what we were mentioning before, firstly, you know, going back to, you know, scam, going back to some of those tactics I hate when companies, agencies send SEO crawls that are riddled with errors as it, to an email say, do you know you have 80 million different things? Of course. Guess what? Almost every site's got something wrong. You run it on Amazon, run it on Google, run it on YouTube. They all are going to come up with that stuff. You have to kind of pick and choose which the stuff you actually want to tack is actually correct. But what we don't like to lock into either, which was kind of a thing that I know still exists today, but not as prevalent as it used to be, which really annoyed me, was these packages, right? The SEO packages, the SEM packages, the social media. I need. Guess what? Your business fluctuates, right? It really does fluctuate over time what your needs are. So whenever we're kind of creating relationships with clients, we have to understand that every month, like, their goals are going to change, you know, with COVID, the pandemic hits, stuff happens in life and you need to switch gears and you need to be fluid. So everything that we do is, that's why we kind of have a big range of kind of experts who we utilize. We come up with a game plan of what we think is going to work, based on, not just based on individual tactics. So whether it's just SEO driven or SEM driven, we say, okay, these are the top three things that we believe are going to work for your business to drive money. And it, you know, digital marketing, it's not, there's no guarantees in it. I always like to consider it like, I always try to say we're like baseball. Agencies are like baseball teams, right? We believe that All Points Digital has a really fantastic average. When we're going to the plate, we're hitting well over 300. You can depend on us. You want us at the plate for you. But guess what? You're not going to be able to hit all the time. So that's why we're prioritizing different tactics and start to get an understanding of what's going, you know, going to work. And the ones that work, we optimize and refine, and we kind of make sure that that ROI grows. The ones that don't, we scratch off the list. We start to talk more, try to understand more tactics that we can take to attack it. Now, going to like really strict omnichannel marketing, one thing that I really believe in is that the world has kind of missed is that paid search and SEO should be grouped as one channel. Not many people look at it. Going back to things I hate about agencies, there's a lot of companies and larger companies out there that will hire an SEO agency and they'll hire an SEM agency to handle their AdWords. And SEO will report on their numbers and the SEM company will report on theirs. And guess what? A lot of these, at least from a paid search standpoint, that happens. They don't talk to the SEO teams at all. Firstly, there's a lot of shared knowledge and I could speak to that for hours, but I'm not going to. But they may present, guess what, our ROAS, and that's a big part of this, especially from the e-commerce standpoint. We got a lot of e-commerce clients. It's fantastic. It's we're getting a 10-to-1 return on your ad spend. And the executives at your client, this is fantastic. This paid search team's doing unbelievable. But if you start to dive into things, and not that I'm against brand defense or conquesting, and you start to look at the individual ad groups, you'll start to see that maybe in some of these instances that a majority of that high ROAS is actually coming from brand, right?
For sure, yeah.
So, and I said, there are lots of instances where conquesting makes sense and brand defense makes sense, but there are reports out there that allow you to understand the crossovers of organic search and paid search. So you can actually see, it's called the paid organic report in Google Search Console, where you can actually start to see your positioning and your click-through rates when your ad is showing up, as well as when you're showing up organically. So what we started to do is take that data as well as some other tools and start to be very particular when we're purchasing brand and when we're going after things from an organic standpoint, because guess what? You can take that giant budget that most of these companies are spending from a brand standpoint. You may be able to save 70% of that branded, kind of that branded traffic that you're purchasing. And you could put that to more top of funnel based activities that are going to really kind of be brand awareness. Maybe it's retargeting, remarketing, or or just kind of non-branded search. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have different goals for that non-branded search. Okay, well, maybe you're not getting 10 to 1, but 3 to 1 or 4 to 1 from a non-branded standpoint is fantastic because it's educating people about your business. Mm. And that you find out, guess what? All that paid traffic that you were purchasing from brand, we can actually see that we're actually getting that in organic. Mm. We're still getting 95% of that brand traffic. Mm-hmm. And so what we do in a lot of cases is we start to understand, look at the ROAS, we look at the traffic, we look at all the different returns, and we look at paid search and search together. Because we want those channels to grow. Because what happens in some cases is that you may turn up paid search, but you're buying up all that brand traffic, and all of a sudden your organic starts to dip. Mm. So one company gets blamed because, oh, well, why is organic? Well, guess what? It's because you brought a new paid company who's just buying up all your brand and traffic. Mm-hmm. What you really want are both those lines to go, you know, upward together, not one going up and one going down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from a paid and organic standpoint, there is such leverage, and even keywords, right? From a conversion standpoint. Mm. When that data is shared, we understand when you're doing an SEM campaign, and that's actually something we recommend a lot of places. You're getting going with a business. Let's run a basic SEM campaign that'll give us enough of a sample size to understand how keywords are performing. Mm. So from a non-branded keyword standpoint, we just found out, because we purchased them right away, got that top position, that we're converting on this ad group of non-branded keywords of 4 to 1. Guess what? We haven't started our content strategy yet. We may want to start building up organically and do a content strategy around that non-branded set because we know it converts. Mm. So it allows us to essentially use the data that we're getting from SEM and leverage it on the organic side. And the exact same thing can be true from the organic standpoint. You may stumble onto something that we find out that we're showing up from some non-branded query and it's converting nonstop and we're getting traffic to it. Guess what? We're the number 6 result. We're capturing, you know, a good couple percentage of that search traffic, but we know it converts. So maybe we want to purchase that ad to own more of that SERP, own more of that real estate on that SERP. Mm-hmm. And so we start to use that. So especially with those two channels alone, you know, looking at everything as a whole, they all should be working together. And social media too, like all of it. Mm. They should never be separate. You can learn a lot of knowledge and data between looking at A, B, C, and D. And it's fine to have multiple agencies working on different channels, but you need to make sure they communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a definite value of having it all in-house so that you have your systems and your processes dialed in so that you are ensuring that they are supporting each other, right? And even the day-to-day awareness of knowing that, let's say that you're doing like a direct mail campaign and your AdWords company doesn't realize it, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we got a great month. But meanwhile, it's just a bunch of branded searches from the mail campaign. I absolutely love that. And being able to, one challenge I had when I, like, basically my journey was SEO specialist. And then everybody was like, hey, can you do our AdWords as well? I was like, okay, I'll go learn how to do that.
Sure,
do
that's,
that
as that's well, how it right? happens, right?
Yeah. And then it was like, okay, now we really have to figure out how to manage it, like track all the stuff, like what's bringing results in. So then it was like, okay, Google Analytics. And then it was like call tracking and at like conversion tracking, all that stuff, right? And the multi-touch attribution. And going down that rabbit hole, it allowed us to see, it's like, oh wow, like when we, like 9 months ago, a year ago, when we thought that SEO was just crushing it, it was actually just this game where a lot of that was branded search. And you really do need to go deeper than that, because a lot of these people are just repeat customers coming back to the company, and they would have whether or not you're doing anything, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so really figuring out what is the actual benefit that you're bringing the customer, so you're not just sending them a ranking report each month, like, hey, we did stuff, here we go.
We moved up 2 positions, yay.
yeah, for a bunch of long tail keywords that don't matter. I love that. And then in terms of like, so I love the idea of coupling SEO and SEM. Now, outside of that, like you mentioned, remarketing, for example, are you able to kind of bring other different channels, marketing channels, into that omni-channel mix as well?
Absolutely. So, you know, that's where our paid search, Kristen and our team, and also with another senior, Alexa, who does a great deal of work. And our SEO team and our SEM team essentially are talking to each other. We, you know, we're a Slack-based company, and every conversation that we're having with the client is together. There's mm-hmm. no separate conversation. So when there's mm-hmm. audiences, it can be kind of used kind of on both ends, from especially from a remarketing and an email. They should, when they are working together, they work together. You see everything move up together. Mm-hmm. You can't judge, as you said, kind of a spike because an email just went out and the people are, you know, coming to you from direct traffic or organic mm-hmm. traffic as that. But, you know, even social media, especially too, tying that to the kind of SEM and the remarketing stuff, those audiences can be interchanged, and you can do stuff with customer match and stuff like that, that just mm-hmm. can't be done if you're done individually, if that data is just kept, you know, by itself. And then, mm-hmm. you know, another kind of going back to like even social SEM and then SEO mm-hmm. is the importance of, I know this is kind of a lame thing that most people know, is landing pages, right? Mm-hmm. You know, big believers in kind of reutilizing landing pages from an organic standpoint, as well as a SEM standpoint and social standpoint. We are big believers in mass producing on it. Mm-hmm. A quality score, you know, quality score is that 0 to 10 ranking that Google gives your ads based on the keywords that are being bought, the text in the end, where it's landing. So when you're buying an actual page, creating an actual page, if you're creating it for that one ad group set, mm-hmm. guess what? If we can tie that somehow to get it maybe to show up organically as well, maybe not be just a landing page, but also an organic page, we're getting a cheaper cost per click on our end on the landing page than we mm-hmm. would be if it was just kind of by itself and we mass produce that. Mm-hmm. And then we can even tailor that to different audiences too. Mm-hmm. So, right, we start to look at the audiences that are more successful from remarketing and the different demographics, and you start to build stuff around that that you know, from a social media standpoint, then ties back to the organic organic stuff. It really is just this infinite loop that you can reutilize mm-hmm. and use the data and use assets to help drive your entire digital marketing, you know, strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And my favorite part about online marketing, or even just marketing in general, is getting those areas that you're like, oh, if we just focus on this, it's going to make everything easier, right? Like if you have a follow-up email campaign going that you know is touching every single customer and it's helping them come back as a repeat customer in 3 months from now, that's going to happen. Like that's compounding the results of every bit of front-end Absolutely. Marketing, top of funnel marketing you're doing, right? And there's so many opportunities like that. But then meanwhile, the majority of agencies out there are just saying, hey, you just need to bring in new leads. That's going to solve all your problems. And meanwhile, it's like, there's no backend systems to upsell, to do all the things that any company should be focusing on.
Yeah, that gets missed a lot. And actually, one thing that we do that's a little bit different, we're such big believers in that, in kind of the business operation, the process, and following up with kind of your customer base, that we have our core of our kind of technology team is actually software engineers first, rather than being kind of web developers. Of course, we do web development and web design, but at heart, we're a bunch of real nerds that do software engineers. So we like to solve problems. So when we're doing these marketing campaigns, we're touching, if there's a HubSpot type system or a Salesforce system that needs to tie to some other different marketing, front-end marketing software, we will actually build integrations in that can automate some of those tactics that you are talking about. That's going to be beyond what HubSpot allows or Salesforce allow, that not only can, hey, can we automate some of these marketing tactics to keep them and keep pelting this kind of potential customer base, but it also will allow them to kind of even get a better understanding of their kind of the return on investment, even becoming more tracking individual cents down to individual customers, getting a better understanding of your customer lifetime value. So we really like, you know, and what you're talking about, as I said, is it's kind of peppering for the back end. Not only peppering for the back end, but we also want to be able to understand that data. And so we like to build those systems that essentially can be, you know, kind of a close your eyes, turn off, and make sure that we're not missing anything.
Yeah, that's a huge gripe I have with marketing agencies is the lack of understanding of the lifetime value or the cost to acquire a customer. They're, like a lot of people are like, oh, it only costs this much to acquire a lead. But then it's like, okay, well, what's that lead worth? And are they going to turn into, like, what type of customer are they going to turn into, right? Like if you're, I don't know, an e-commerce store, right? You're doing a free plus shipping offer. What, like, what's the LTV of that specific lead into your customer base versus someone who comes in and just buys for full price, right? There's going to be a different cost per acquisition, a different lifetime value. And without knowing that, you're pretty much gambling.
That's, well, that's so funny. So the first thing when we're doing, and I'm glad you brought this up, the first thing we do when taking on a new client is we ask them a lot of data questions, a lot of math questions, because we want to understand if it's going to be a fit, right? Because it, marketing is still an equation, right? So as you were talking about a cost per lead, right? So what we want to do is we always do the research of what a cost per lead is going to cost. And then we talk about lead to a closing rate, right? So, hey, how much does it take to get that lead out of a qualified lead? That is, of course, if you're having 10 qualified leads, out of those 10 qualified leads, what's your closing rate for your sales staff? Whether it's either online or if it's individuals picking up a phone, is it 50%? Is it 20%? Okay, so now you know that you need, for every 10 qualified leads, you two of them are going to turn. Okay, what's your average order value, right? So then you start to tie that number. Okay, so that means it's a 20%. So two out of 10 is 20%. Your average order value is $300. And what's your margins, right? So what do you need to make on each one of these acquisitions, in each one of these either purchases or orders or service calls, whatever they are, you need to, that client needs to understand what their margins are. And then what we do is we back out that entire equation and we do research and understand, okay, what the CPCs are gonna cost, what we've seen from previous industry. And you actually have an equation that's built out to give you an understanding. Hey, is this gonna work with the tactics that we think is gonna, you know, drive the leads? We know from experience that, and because there's tools out there, that to get 10 qualified leads, at least from an SEM standpoint, it's going to cost you maybe $500. Is it? So it's a $50 a cost per lead, and that your closing rate is now two of those. So that's five. So it's $250. Now the question is, your margins are maybe 4x. All right. So you may be selling at $1,000. So you know right there that, okay, that works. But guess what? Sometimes that equation doesn't work and those tactics aren't going to work. And we actually have to say, okay, based on the numbers that you given us, you know, these particular tactics are not going to fit in, which may be SEO, SEM, social media. So let's go to more of a B2B type play or more kind of a, you know, email marketing type play. Look, we have to target individuals that's going to be cost effective. But everything that we do is driven down to those data numbers that you were just talking about. And it's amazing. I don't know if you said there are, I would say 50% of the time that we talk to clients, potential clients, they can't give us simple numbers like what your margin is, how much you is appropriate cost per lead. Like they don't have that information. And so what we have to say is, well, at least you have to tell us the bare minimum. I need to know your profit margins. I need to know that so that we can back it up. And then what we do is we do test campaigns to say, okay, well, you know, Bob Shop, we know right now that we can get you 50 customers for $2,000. Is this fitting within your margin? We don't like to do it that way, but that's the worst case scenario is when you're going in blind without the data points that the company should have as a business that, you know, has been around, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. I found, like, I made this transition in the last year or so of consulting before I went full in on my current company, and made a shift from local businesses to like online businesses that had their point of sale built right in. So it was like that, like nobody was talking to the customer. They were clicking an ad, they were going through the process, they were clicking an email, whatever, right? And the data, like on any business, the data is important, but that was the first time I was able to get my clients to be like, oh yeah, here's like spreadsheets of all of our transactions, right? And so like much so much easier. Yeah. And like we were able to do all kinds of these cross checks where it's like, for example, like they're like, oh, like our I don't know, like our Google ads are crushing it, right? And it's like, okay, well, they're all coming in on branded terms. Where are those leads originating from, or where are those customers originating from, right? And because the the nice thing that you have is like you can typically figure out if somebody's repeat or single, unless they call from a new phone number or they use a different email address or something, right? But the majority of the time you can, right? And finding out that it's like, oh, like the originating source of the lead or that originating source of that customer came from this place that we ran a year and a half ago. But meanwhile, they're attributing the result to their branded last search campaign.
Yeah, it's a last click conversion model, right? And when you've got a CRM that's tracking everything, it makes life a lot easier. And then sometimes you don't even, you know, when you don't have CRMs, like you always look at the tools that you've got. I know like Google's got their multi-channel funnel with the assisted conversion values mm-hmm. that gives you a little bit of detail, but still it doesn't give you that. Like I've seen a lot of stuff where with big e-commerce with affiliates essentially just eating up sales that would have already been there.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of retail me not just for the heck of it. But like, oh, well, that's because they already know they want to purchase and they want to make sure they're getting the cheapest price. So they're going to retail me not or wherever, whatever coupon site that you got to make that sale. And you can actually see that in some of the assisted conversion value. But it really is when you've got that CRM data, you can say that for sure. Here it is. Like I can pair that individual customer up to where it originated.
I love it. Yeah. And like, when you're on top of the data like that too, you can spot those affiliates a mile away. Like you'll know, it's like, okay, that person has like 80% of their customer list is our customer list, right?
Yep.
They brought in out of like 20 sales or 3 new customers. It's not worth it. Turn them off, get them out of here, right? Or let them know it's like, hey, if you bring in a repeat customer, we can't give you full commission, or this is the commission we can give you, or there's no commission, right? And if you're not tracking those numbers, you don't have any awareness into that where you think that you're an affiliate's crushing it for you, but then you look into it and you're like, oh, wait, all these people were already customers of ours. We could have sold them easily with ourselves and retained that 45 extra margin or whatever the commission might be.
Yeah, it really is. I said it really is such a big variance too. And then you've got, you know, I kind of talk about some of the real low end agencies. Like I won't go into names, but there's clients out there to go based on no data. I'm sure that you've had this happen in the past where they're taking over a client and clients are almost skeptical because they're not even used to mm-hmm. kind of what we're talking about here about really using data. They said, mm-hmm. I have this other digital marketing company. Well, what do they report on? They gave me impressions and how many clicks I got. Okay, yeah. But like, you know, what was your return? Like, yeah. No. See, we got 25,000 impressions. I'm like, all right, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
And you run it, and those are usually the smaller companies. Usually big of the local services. I feel like the local services fall to this a lot. They're mm-hmm. kind of they get pitched out to from other kind of low-end companies. We've jumped into ad campaigns where they're literally charging them, you know, I mean it's not a ton of it, they're charging them $1,000 to manage an account or something like that. Mm-hmm. We go in, it's got one ad group, one broad, you know, broad match keyword. And that's it. there's no conversion tracking. And there's literally nothing to it. You look at the change history, change it once. You see this all the time. Mm-hmm. It's because, like, and I think we're going back to it earlier, that there's a lot of snake oil that's kind of been sold in our industry for quite a while. And for mm-hmm. people who don't understand it, they just say, okay, well, I'm getting it done or I'm checking a box. Somebody told me I have to have a digital marketing company. Somebody told me I have to get SEO and SEM. Mm-hmm. And when you don't understand it, and I don't blame anybody, mm-hmm. you can get fooled and kind of get, you know, you could just drown money because you're not keeping track of it. And the only real way to do it is data. And I think you were talking about it a little bit earlier. One thing that we kept on seeing is one of those CRM systems, especially from a service-based stuff. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it, which I'm so happy to hear it because you're in the same mentality as we are, call tracking, mm-hmm. right? Like we leverage CallRail to essentially track calls that are incoming from a services. You tie that with the integration of Google AdWords, you can understand each individual keyword, every individual source, every individual email that creates that call. And not only can you see that, A, this came in so many calls, what we do is then go into the system, listen to those calls, are they qualified, tag them and run reports afterwards to understand which types of calls we're getting from which different campaigns. And mm-hmm. that's the data that all businesses should run on. You should never close your eyes and not tie it down. That's why I hate billboards. I hate I'm sorry. I'm one of those people who hate print advertising. The only reason is because it can't track. There might be cases, and I'm sure in the world where you can do it. Hmm. But if you tell me that you've got a bulk load of money and the first thing you're doing is like the medical industry is a big one. We've had a lot of hospital clients. Hmm. There's a lot of egos that need to be fed in the healthcare industry that said, okay, doctors want to have their face up on a billboard. Mm-hmm. And they'll spend $10,000 a month getting this billboard on the side of a highway before they'll spend any money that they can actually attribute to real campaigns and actually mark that actually generated revenue to their high profit profit centers within the hospital. It drives me crazy, but it's just, as I said, it's this mentality, this old school mentality of, okay, just marketing is just seeing your face somewhere, which is, you know, mm-hmm. I know we're on a tangent there, but I kind of get definitely passionate when I see that kind of wasting money. Just drives me crazy.
yeah, definitely. And I think there is that element, but it's different than result-based, like outcome-based marketing, where there's a huge advantage there, right? And you shouldn't be blowing money on a billboard if there is that low-hanging fruit where it is completely trackable.
That's exactly right. And that's what you see is you run into, you know, businesses that they haven't taken advantage of that low-hanging fruit that you just know, hey, if you just run this campaign, you're going to get this a lot of money.
Yeah.
And actually, because of that, something interesting, I know that not many agencies do, is we're such big believers in when we see those opportunities that we will work out incentive-based contracts or where it's just completely we're paid on our success, right? We won't charge them a penny because we see the opportunity, it's established business, that this low-hanging fruit does exist. Mm. We know that if we run these SEM, SEO, and social media and email marketing campaign, that we're going to fit within your equation that we talked about earlier, about this math equation. So we'll work ourselves into that equation. You will not pay us, and we will just get paid based on their success. Mm. And we find out that works really well for a lot of these businesses who have been burned in the past that say, hey, you know, I had this, they promised me the world, they charged me a large amount of money, and they just gave me a report that said that we got a bunch of clicks. And what we say is, well, here's how we're going to track it. Let us know your equation. And when we're successful and we actually show you that revenue that you're getting and we can actually track this, we'll go over that tracking with the client, we'll get paid based on that. So that's how we actually take advantage of those things where we want to shake them, be like, oh God, don't use it for this. We'll do it. I know we can make you money. We're going to do it. You just pay us after you make the money. And it's been really successful for us doing it that way.
Well, that's a great hook in terms of just like a conversion standpoint for your agency, right? That speaks volumes about how confident you are in your systems and the fact that you're not just going to take their money and sit on it each month and collect it. You're actually going to do the results and get that outcome for your client.
Yeah. We, as I said, everything that we do is numbers driven. So there are times where equations don't work in digital marketing tactics. If it's a startup and, you know, something that we don't believe in as a product where we think it's not going to sell, like in some cases, we can only bring the horse to the water. We can't, you know, we can't make him drink it. Mm. And we'll have a come to Jesus, be like, you know, we really, you know, we get, from a tactical standpoint, I know we're really believers, like nobody can do better than what we can do it. Mm. But this just doesn't fit with your business model. Mm. So we think you should reinvest it in something else. And we've had, I mean, it's not often, but we do have those conversations with clients because, you know, we don't want to keep on taking recurring amount of money away from business that's just trying to make it by just like everybody else. It's just not a good practice. And their business model, as I said, may change in the future where we'll be a fit again. And we'd rather kind of create those relationships for the long term than just look out for number one, if you will.
Yeah, I love that. That's one thing I learned probably within, I think 9 months in, I hired like a coach. I basically didn't know what the heck I was doing. And and he was like, oh, you got to get like this front end offer. It'll help build relationships. We'll do this, we'll do that. And then I started doing that. And then like still to this day, I get people that bought that front end offer, had that great experience, didn't necessarily upsell at that point in time, but like they're coming back literally years later being like, hey, like we have a budget now, we're ready to move forward on that SEO campaign we talked about in 2019.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, in terms of, let's say that somebody wanted to get started and be more data-driven, do you have any advice for an agency owner that wants to help their clients kind of move in that direction?
So are you talking about for an agent to be more data-driven or the actual client itself?
So, well, ultimately helping the agency help the client.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, the first thing you have to understand is what processes and what systems you need to use for the different based scenarios, mm-hmm. right? You know, Google Analytics is widely used, right? And you have to have analytics experts mm-hmm. on staff to be able to track. We always say we tag the hell out of everything. Mm-hmm. So we have experts in Google Analytics and Google Tag Managers where we can do sophisticated based click event tracking, goal tracking. Mm-hmm. Don't just use Google Analytics for the sake of, oh, here it is. Here's my traffic numbers. Use yeah. all the advanced features that it has with it. And if you're lucky enough to have a client that can afford Adobe Analytics, we actually, you know, mm-hmm. have a, you know, expert of that on staff, but first understand what systems you're going to be able to kind of help other clients with. Mm-hmm. And you need to have experts to be able to understand all the different tagging routes mm-hmm. And the goal of that goal kind of goal-based tagging, whether it's event-based, click-based, form fill outs, revenue-based, mm-hmm. you need to understand the ins and outs of that. And then you have to understand kind of the branches of the other pieces of software that you may kind of encounter for the client. So mm-hmm. for example, if it is a service-based industry, find a good reliable partner for call tracking, as we mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we use CallRail, but I know there's lots of ones out there. We liked it because of the Google AdWords integration. So we have that individual system. Mm-hmm. And then it's also said, we're big believers, and you brought this up earlier, if they have a CRM, don't ignore it. That you should be screaming and getting very excited about. Mm-hmm. Don't ever ignore the data that your client has. Don't ever start from scratch. Grab as much of that data that they have mm-hmm. and utilize it. In our case, as I said, if they have a CRM, we'll even do, I said, exports of that customer list and match it up to any mm-hmm. information that we have from any of the tracking that we can do. We'll build something that doesn't exist. You can use a Zap if you can. But whenever you don't have to start from scratch, don't. But come up at least with what your kind of expertise is. And you do need, which is ignored a lot, have yourself somebody who can read data, mm-hmm. understand the analytics, and be able to kind of implement tracking. Make one person in charge of what your tracking process is going to be. Mm-hmm. You might need other people, like I said, from that integration standpoint, from a CRM perspective. Mm-hmm. But you can't go into this with somebody who doesn't know like deep dive mm-hmm. analytics and kind of either, you know, GTM implementation or different types of tracking, kind of tracking code implementation.
Yeah, I can't agree more with you. That was a huge shift in my own career where I finally learned Google Analytics, Google Tag Manager, really understood all that stuff. All of a sudden, my job really changed from just driving leads to figuring out where they're currently allocating budget and where should they be allocating budget.
And actually, I don't know why this reminded me of it, but another big thing is that all businesses are different. So another thing with tracking and data, every business looks at things differently and have a different form. Like if somebody's looking for, you know, capital and looking for investors, they might need to drive different numbers than just straight revenue.
Right.
So and different companies are small companies that need less information. Larger companies need a million different reports. Mm. So one thing that we leverage, and it's said once again, there's lots of different platforms out there, is Google Data Studio. Mm-hmm. Where whenever we have a new client, we always say we don't have that. And so this is a lot of big things for other agencies do. They have one report, especially the mid to small ones, that are mm-hmm. sent to the client that are always the same amount of information. Mm-hmm. So what we do when we're onboarding a client from a discovery process standpoint, what information is important to you? Mm-hmm. Let us know everything that's important to you. And what we're going to do is the best job we can to create a customized report in mm-hmm. Google Data Studio is a big thing that we use. We used to mm-hmm. use a different platform back in the day before that was like kind of matured called Dash This. Mm-hmm. But we use Google Data Studio to make sure that we can get all the information. The great thing is that's got a whole bunch of integrations in there. Like it does integrate. One of the reasons we use CallRail is because it integrates into CallRail. It's good. Mm-hmm. Integrates to Google AdWords. You can use something called Supermetrics to grab a whole bunch of different connectors to Facebook and other different social media and actually pair up and layer data on top of each other. Mm-hmm. Do it. So once again, that's a huge reason to have somebody who's really good at the analytics and reporting mm-hmm. so that not only can you get it for your own success and optimize the campaign, but from a client standpoint, every client is different the way they want to see the data, how often, the cadence. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to shape that. And having one report that you send out every month, it doesn't feel right because it's not answering the business.
Yeah, I love it, man. I learned a lot from this. It's such a reminder as to so many critical aspects of running an agency in general, but also getting results. And I love what you're talking about omni-channel marketing. Now, if anybody wants to find you online, where's the best spot to go?
So you can just go to allpoints.digital. That is our website. Anybody can always reach out to me directly at jason@allpoints.digital. I'm happy to respond. I love talking with anybody who's as nerdy as me and gets in the weeds. So you can definitely reach me out that way.
Awesome. And then you have a blog as well, right? Digital Examiner.
Yeah, we have a digital examiner. A lot of our experts going right on that, which is digitalexaminer.com. That's brought to you by All Points Digital. And we try to, if you're ever interested in anybody guest blogging or anything like that, we're always looking for people to contribute. Mm-hmm. I said, we're nerds at hand. We like to be the people who don't follow best practices. We like to create them. We like to go into analytics and figure out what works and what doesn't.
I love it, Jason. Well, thanks so much for your time and thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.